my presentation is a part of my dissertation research, which I defended similar time last year. And Dr. Brian Bajos, my advisor, and also doctors Laura Pernet and David Crable, they give me a huge support. I would thank all of them very much. And this is the third part of my dissertation, talk about the evaluation of ergonomic intervention strategies for drywall installation. So some background information, drywall installation means drywall hanging, and usually done by carpenters in the United States. And also there are huge ergonomic exposures during drywall installation, such as a huge and bulky drywall sheets, usually 4x8, and I even saw 4x12, 4x8, 14 in the commercial construction set. And also the repetitive motion during screw driving, and also awkward postures, shoulders, low back, doing all those different kinds of activities. And the other big issue in construction is some unique characteristics, like a project deadline, undefined construction layout, and also some other characters may pose additional risks to drywall installers to develop all kinds of injuries. The common injuries include overexertion, fall from head, bodily reaction, struck by an object, and also frequently injured body parts are axial skeleton and shoulder, and those two areas also my target areas during this study. On the intervention side, there are big controversies between implementation of interventions and evaluation of their effectiveness. And in terms of implementation, there are many different factors. The cost, productivity are the main factors, but specific to construction, there are also other factors, like which specific construction site you want to pick to do the intervention, and also the time and resource relocation to the specific construction site, and even the union opinion on the choice of all kinds of ergonomic equipment, device, or tools may also pose additional factors to affect the implementation. And also on the evaluation side, previous researchers suggest that the evaluation need to be conducted using both objective and subjective measurements, and also they suggest using randomized controlled trials, but there are also many obstacles to apply those randomized control applications. And also the other thing is validity issue, like a lot of injuries or units have long patent period, and also if there are no injury data available, researchers suggest maybe you can choose some intermediate outcomes, like the physical loads, muscle force, joint reaction force, and muscle fatigue, use those variables to predict the reduction of the interventions on the body, on the body part. Another huge challenge in construction industry is far more complicated than the lab. So it's very difficult to apply objective ergonomic assessment instruments, and EMG, lumbar motion monitor, and force platform. It's very implacable to ask workers to wear those all kind of equipment to do the field application, field research work. So in that case, biomechanical models may be an alternative good research methods, and also with the development of all kinds of other research methodologies like work sampling based approach and Monte Carlo simulations, and also some other models to evaluate to assess the muscle fatigue. So with all kinds of available technologies or techniques, we can do a better, more comprehensive evaluation in terms of the ergonomic exposures during construction. So overall objective for this research is to evaluate the efficacy of interventions to reduce the ergonomic hazards during drywall installation, utilizing the integrated biomechanical models, PATH, Monte Carlo simulation, and also one compartment challenge recovery model. And I apologize for the small word on this slide, but this try to give the rough idea about the whole analysis procedure. And basically, the low back shoulder to parallel analysis and I just use low back as an example, but shoulder definitely needs more research effort since it's more complex in terms of mechanics perspective. On the low back, the first study is using PATH, which stands for posture activity handling and tools, and that's a work sampling based approach to quantify the workers, the percent of time workers doing all kinds of different activities. And about 2 hour observation of Java installation on 8 Java installers were observed in the field, and starting with using the Mercator simulation to generate 8 hour workday activity series, and basically include different cycles, but two main cycles, either the installation of a whole Java sheet or installation of partial Java sheet, and there are many sub activities within each cycle that give you a real variable activity cycles during the 8 hour workday. And also using the PATH information on the posture and also loads in the hand information to generate the external force and external location of the specific external force on the low back, low back, which L5 center of disc. And on the other hand, internal side, the anthropometric data and also muscle parameters such as the PCSA and also the origin insertion information and were also simulated using Monte Carlo simulation, assuming specific distributions. So with those internal and external and the three-dimensional static force and moment equilibrium equations were set up, and using the double linear program, the muscle force, joint reaction force at three different dimensions were estimated. And also beyond that, the one compartment challenge recovery model would develop, and the prevalence of muscle fatigue rate, and also the consecutive fatigue periods were also estimated. And I will roughly introduce the definition for those variables as well in the later slides. So in terms of intervention, the guidelines for the strategies were proposed, and based on those guidelines, there are five different interventions. The first intervention, lifting assistance, based on reducing the awkward postures during specific lifting and carry, and instead of put the driver sheet on the ground, assuming a lifting assistance device to assist the workers instead of always bend their trunk and elevate their arm to lift the drywall or carry the drywall, and you just stand neutral, and also do not need to elevate an arm to hold the drywall or lift the drywall or carry the drywall to the destination. And the second intervention, two-person teamwork, based on the reducing the maximum load in the hand, and to in order not to reduce the productivity, we assume here only whole drywall sheet were lifted by the team, by the two person. And instead, if just one person, they may lift both whole Java sheet and also partial Java sheet. And third intervention, work rest schedule. The common schedule is have an hour morning break. 15 minutes morning break, and half hour lunch break, and 15 hour afternoon break. And suggest or propose another work rest schedule is 1 hour consecutive work, then 5 minutes break, another 1 hour. So we just suggest more frequent but shorter break, and we assume it will reduce the physical load and reduce the muscle fatigue rate. And also, since the intervention three, the work rest schedule, were added after the data was generated, so we can combine intervention 1 and intervention 3, and also combine 2 and 3, and that gave us total 5 different intervention strategies. So the ranking of interventions, a set of dependent variables were evaluated. First, MMCI, that's maximum muscle contraction intensity, and also require muscle contraction forces. That's basically the same trend as MMCI, and also joint reaction forces at low back and two shoulder joints, and prevalence of muscle fatigue. That's a rate or frequency of the muscle contraction force over the limit of the force that the muscle can generate. So consecutive fatigue periods are the periods that the muscle continuously fatigue, and the time threshold value is set up as a half time defined by the one compartment muscle fatigue model. And also a semi-quantitative ranking methods were used to give the ranking results. One means the most reduction, 5 means the least, and in the last averages of scores for the low back, shoulder, and both were presented. So since I'm short of time, and you know, eventually I do not have too much time, I just quickly go to the results. But data analysis, the subjects and anthropometric data were matched, which means we created a similar subject anthropometry pre and post intervention, and person reduction were calculated using this equation, and the results low back, shoulder muscle fatigue, and rocking arm interventions. And worthy to note that since the relationship between the workers' anthropometry and the muscle parameters were available for the low back, so I did analysis on the different personnels, the low, medium, and high, and also simulated 10 average, 10 random subjects. And this mean on the mean of the muscle contraction intensity, the intervention 1, lifting assistance, produced more reduction compared to intervention 2, which is 2-person teamwork. And on the maximum side, the second intervention produced more reduction overall compared to the first. Compared to the first intervention. So the joint reaction force means a similar trend. Both two interventions produce reductions, and they gave the similar person reductions. And in terms of maximum, the second one produced more reductions. And the shoulder muscle force decreased on average for the major muscles under intervention 1 and 2. And however, some other muscle groups increased. And the possible explanation is, since we assume under intervention 2, the workers only install the whole partial sheath, so that may increase the requirements on those specific muscle groups. And in terms of maximum values, the greater reductions under intervention 2 compared to intervention 1. And reaction force, both two interventions gave the similar reductions, and on the maximum force requirements, intervention 2 reduced even more. And the prevalence of muscle fatigue, as you can see, they all gave reductions on the trunk and shoulder, and specifically the combined intervention of 1 and 3 gave the most reduction on the low back and also the shoulder. And prevalent muscle fatigue disc overload, and the most important results on the low back disc compression for never exceed 6400, which is a permissible limit value suggested by OSHA, NIOSH. And on the shoulder, the frequency joint reaction force above shoulder weight under intervention 2 increased. That's once again suggests, you know, since the workers are suggest to lift the whole drawbar sheet, so that may give the explanation for the shoulder increase. And trunk muscle consecutive fatigue period, and again on the combined intervention 1-3, the number was the low, the 5 periods on average, and also average duration is 2.7 minutes. That means on average 2.7 minutes the workers continuous fatigue. And again, this slides you quickly the summary of the ranking of interventions, and the top is the low back and bottom shoulder, and this gives the overall rank. So as you can see, the combined intervention of 1 and 3 gives the lowest score. And as a conclusion, all of the proposed interventions produce reductions in the hook low back shoulder, and combination of intervention 1 and 3 was the relatively most efficacious intervention. And also, this project endured several limitations. First, there were only 2-hour past observations, so the quantification may not be representative. And also, past posture data, especially on the shoulder part, is not so comprehensive. And also, there are many assumptions involved in this research. And on the other hand, the force is evaluated on the static, although it's three-dimensional. And the last but not least limitation is potential error during random number generation, especially the extreme outward body postures that may not be applicable in the field, but given this random number generation, it may come out. And with that, I finish all the presentation and welcome any questions and comments. I'm sorry for the hurry. Thank you very much.